Hello and welcome to 45 Vinna Movies, a Vin Diesel podcast. This is the podcast where we're ranking and reviewing every single Vin Diesel movie ever made. And let me tell you, I think we're halfway there now. We're getting quite close to the end. Yeah. I'm Cameron. I am joined as always by Oasis. How is it going?
It's going good, man. We've seen about 14. I've been logging them on Letterboxd. I was looking at my stats the other day. Obviously, he's the sort of most watched actor of the year, but we've seen about 14 films, which is a pretty solid effort so far.
A solid effort. We're definitely halfway there, because I think Fast 9 is his 28th feature film, not including cameos and stuff. So it's been a ride. Any thoughts you'd like to share with the audience now that we're halfway there?
I'm very, very, very excited for the second half. because the first half was great in that it was so different, but now we're coming into the sort of films that we know Vin for. Yeah. And we were sort of talking about this earlier, just the sort of next couple of weeks are so exciting. And I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think there was a turning point, and this is where he becomes Vin Diesel action star. This is the point where he is the Vin Diesel we know and love. It was really interesting seeing his earlier work, though. I think that was one of the things that really stood out to me, was how varied his career has been up to this point.
Yeah.
And there is some offshoots, but not many coming up here. So we're all action all the time from now on. So make sure you're used to that. So let's just jump into the first film. It's a doozy. We're talking Babylon AD, directed by Matthew Kasowitz. He did, and let me tell you, this is a mega one. He did Lahane, which is like every film school student's wet dream of a movie. So I'd imagine Vin Diesel was very excited to be in this one. Could you recap the plot for me?
Yeah, so basically Vin Diesel plays Turop, who's this sort of veteran turned mercenary. This is set in the future, in 2058. And basically he takes this very sort of high risk job of escorting this woman from Russia to America, but he doesn't know why he's escorting her. All he knows is that there's a big bounty on her head, and he needs to sort of protect her at all costs. And it's a very interesting film. I think you mentioned it there. It is from the director of Lahane. So yeah, and obviously we talked about Find Me Guilty, which was the director. It was Sidney Lumet, who did obviously like 12 Angry Men and like Dog Day Afternoon. So yeah, I think this might be the last of sort of audacious Vin Diesel, you know, trying to do these, working with these sort of great directors. Not to say that any of the directors he works with are sort of any less, but I think these are obviously directors that their sort of reputation precedes them. But I think like Find Me Guilty, it's not sort of as good as you would maybe expect it to be from that sort of filmmaker.
Yeah, he's had a run-in with some good directors so far, like Steven Spielberg as well, one of the biggest ones probably on the list there. But he does, this isn't the end. There is one more random, like, artistic filmmaker Vin Diesel. We're getting Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk there with Ang Lee.
Yeah.
So we'll get to see Vin in glorious 60 frames per second at some point very soon.
I was going to say, you're obsessed with that film, aren't you?
It's so fucking weird. It's brilliant because it's just the strangest film on the planet. So let's go back to Babylon AD. It's very cyberpunky.
It is.
The world, how did you feel about the world? Because I thought the world was, it was quite bland. As much as it wanted to be sort of out there and futuristic, I felt like it could have gone further. I suppose I didn't want it to go full Blade Runner and go like all neon all the time, but even the post-apocalyptic vibes, some of the shots, it just looked like New York. It was just New York. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, there wasn't anything to say this was 2058. This was just New York 2008. Like, I felt like that sort of fell flat. How would you feel about just other aspects?
Well, so have you seen Terminal? The film with Margot Robbie that was at Edinburgh Film Festival a few years ago.
Yes, I suffered for that.
you suffered through. See, I was going to say, because this reminded me, this gave me Terminal vibes in that I went into this with such low expectations because this Babylon AD has a 6% Rotten Tomatoes score, you know, like 20 on Meta score. And the same was with Terminal. It was this sort of, it was absolutely panned. But just in the sort of same way that I thought Terminal was okay, it was sort of undercooked in those sci-fi elements, I thought Babylon was okay. I think the world is, it leaves a lot to be desired, but I think there is a lot of great like, I think the concept of it is cool.
Yeah, I'd agree.
And they do a lot of sort of great stuff with the characters, but it doesn't feel like this sort of futuristic post-apocalyptic world in the same way that Blade Runner does, or sort of these, you know, great sci-fi films. You know, even, you know, looking at Cyberpunk 2077, it feels like a sort of half-assed version in the sci-fi elements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the sci-fi elements, like the whole religion corporation thing, like that, like that trope that's being run over and over and over again in science fiction. It just felt very, a lot of it feels run-of-the-mill, and I suppose it's down to the source material as well. I mean, it's based on a book called Babylon Babies by a Canadian author. And it just doesn't feel like there's enough there. I think there's some action sequences, like Vin Diesel's really cool, and there's a lot of sequences where Vin Diesel, like, that's fucking, he's really fucking cool. But then there's just a lot of others, like, I was checking my phone. Like, it was just one of those ones you're just sort of like, sure, I guess, but...
Do you think then it would have been better had it been grounded in a sort of, in a better world? Or like, what would you sort of change about it? Because I think it would have benefited from that.
Yeah, I think it would have benefited from a world that felt more expansive than just sort of, and I get a lot of it was traveling across like dystopia in Eastern Europe and stuff like that, but it just felt like the world wasn't alive in any way. It was just set decoration, which was really disappointing.
I think what it would have benefited from was maybe not being set on Earth. Like, if you sort of, like, imagine the world of Riddick, but with this story, like, give me that sort of world building and give me that sort of immersiveness into this sort of sci-fi elements. And because I think that could have been really cool, sort of seeing... Because there is some great sci-fi elements, but they just don't do enough with it, I think, and... Like, I mean, my biggest issue with it is all of the sort of world building they do is literally in the last, like, 10 minutes of the movie. Like, all the sort of the most and the best, it's all in the last 10 minutes. And I just didn't understand it.
Charlotte Rampling only kicks off, like, 10 minutes before the end. Like, she doesn't, like, the villain actually only actively does anything, really, towards the very end of the film. It doesn't feel like there's much, it just sort of treads water for the entire film, and then it kicks off and, like, it ends. It just doesn't. It never knows what it doesn't know what it's doing.
But and then, because we were all...
I was going to say, this could be down to the stuff you were talking about before, where they had just 20th Century Fox just, and Studio Canal even, just took a bloody scissors to it and just cut loads of stuff out. You were reading more about it than I was. How did that go down?
Well, it seems, when we talk about sort of studio interference, it seems like this had a lot. Like, the director, Matthew Kasowitz, I think the sort of quote you said earlier was he called it a bad episode of 24. He basically had no control over it. He never got to shoot a scene the way it was scripted or the way he wanted it to be. And we've mentioned before the fact that we had never heard of this movie. And we probably wouldn't have known about it if we weren't going through Vin Diesel's career. And that's because there was no marketing for it because... the director was feuding with 20th Century Fox over the final cut. And, like, you know, apparently 70 minutes of the film were trimmed. I don't like this fact because obviously it's a Vin Diesel podcast. But the director didn't even want Vin Diesel in the role. He was cast by Fox.
Does it say who he wanted? Does it say who he was aiming for?
It says he was looking for Vincent Cassell.
Go and which could have been who that is.
Lahane. He was in Lahane.
Right, that fella, yeah. To be fair, he looks a little bit like Vin Diesel, to be fair. Just like if you squint, he could look a little bit like Vin Diesel.
I think Vincent Cassell's great.
yeah.
But yeah, so it seems like he, the director wanted to work with him again and not Vin. Vin was cast by Fox. I imagine probably because of the success of all of this, you know, Triple X and sort of Fast and Furious and everything. But it just seems like this film was completely butchered. So it makes me wonder if there was a more expansive world and if maybe the film would have benefited from that sort of trimmed 70 minutes.
I see why you get Vin for this, though. The Fox seemed to be trying to build this as a major action film.
Yeah.
Like a major action
yeah.
film.
Mm-hmm.
And it just isn't. It just isn't that. It shouldn't be that, and isn't that. And I think it would have been much more interesting if it didn't rely. If the 140 minute runtime wasn't just action, for like because like basically, feels like all it is either walking and talking or action. Yeah. It never really stops, to talk. And I think a more slower paced film would have actually been more beneficial for this. And I don't usually say that because I don't like long films usually, but yeah.
Yeah. I think the vibe that it gives me is Blade Runner vibes. And I was watching an interview with Vin Diesel and he just kept on citing Blade Runner. And Blade Runner is, of course, a very slow burn, thinky sci-fi. And it feels like they were sort of trying to channel that vibes, but Fox wanted a more sort of action-heavy, bombastic sci-fi, and that's the cut we got.
Yeah. Should we move on to ratings then, get this film out of the way, shove it just deep down and repress the memories of ever seeing it. Do you want to kick us off with your overall rating?
Well, so I actually didn't mind it as much as maybe you did. I don't think it's, and I feel like this is probably partly because I was expecting something so abysmal.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't, and so I was pleasantly surprised. So I think because the bar was so low, I was sort of, I did enjoy it. I was on my phone and, you know, I wasn't paying it sort of the most attention, but I feel like there was a lot of fun to be had with it in parts. I love the fight, by the way, that Vin Diesel has with the sort of cage wrestler.
That's a great scene.
It's like in the sort of middle of one of the film's sort of big action sequences. And there's just a lot of moments like that. And again, I say this every week, Vin Diesel is always the best part of the movies he's in, and he very much makes this watchable. So to sort of, to cut a long story short, I'm gonna go 3 out of 5. I didn't mind it. I quite enjoyed it.
Well, I'm probably going to say,
oh no!
And I think I'm gonna do it for the first time because I've been thinking the more I think about this movie the last 24 hours, the more
here we go.
The more I just really didn't like it at all. And I think this is the first time. Let me just double check the score sheets here, because I don't remember giving a film like an overall movie one. But yeah, ooh. I'm gonna go for no. I think I gave A Man Apart one, or you gave A Man Apart one. But
I might have.
Yeah. My first time, I'm gonna go one for Babylon AD. I'm going one out of five.
I can see it.
You know, what about our boy Vin? What are you thinking about our boy Vin for this?
I'm going 3 again.
I would agree with 3 because he is sort of there. Like there is a Vin Dieselness to him. There is the action stars there, the gruff sort of like recluse that's sort of from like Fast One sort of vibes. I think that's probably maybe what you were gonna say, but I would agree with 3 for those reasons.
Yeah, no, I that's it. Spot on.
So we both get that 3. So that's a 6 for the like. So that's 4 for the overall rating and 6 for the Vin Diesel rating,
so
which gives us a 10, and that sits it somewhere in the middle of the board. We'll have to talk more about that later on in the show. Let's move on to the next film, which is very exciting.
Very exciting.
So we're going to talk about Fast and Furious, not The Fast and the Furious, Fast and Furious, directed by Justin Lin, that came out in 2009. This is where the Fast franchise finally kind of is almost rebooted, I would argue. It's sort of it was, it's rebooted, same cast and everything, but yeah, we return to Dom and the family since for the first time since the first one. Could you tell me about the plot for this?
Basically, following the events of the first one, very loosely, but Dominic Toretto's still a wanted criminal, so he's sort of on the run. Meanwhile, Brian O'Connor is back working for the FBI. Their paths sort of cross once again when Dominic returns because Letty is murdered, and she's murdered by a gang, by a drug cartel that Brian's investigating. And basically, they're both sort of going after this guy called Braga. And if you've sort of seen the first film, and if you remember how that ended, it didn't end on the sort of best terms between Brian and Dom. So it's like partly their rivalry, but they're sort of having to work together to stop Braga. And what did you think of this, Cameron?
I really enjoyed it. I mean, it's not my favorite Fast and Furious film by a long shot, but it is really solid. I like the direction it took it in. I think it's a step up, obviously, from Tokyo Drift, which was, as we know, quite dire. And even Too Fast and Furious, I would put it as a great new direction for the franchise at the time, and it sort of sets it on the path, which I like, for because it seems to know where it wants to go. And where it wants to kind of head off for the franchise. Yeah, so I think action sequences are great. Car stunts are incredible. The opening sequence, great time. Vin Diesel drives under a rolling truck. That's always great to see. A man saves his iguana from being in a fiery wreck. It's a great fun time. I like the chemistry between Brian and Dom. Perfect. So a really, really solid movie. I mean, I enjoy it. What were you?
I agree very much so. It has my favorite franchise opening, and probably my favorite ending in the franchise too, when they're breaking Vin out of the sort of prison bus. I think it's bookended by two of the strongest scenes in the franchises. I think the sort of middle act, it's good. I think it can be a bit forgettable sometimes. I think in just sort of the plot and the side characters. I think if you sort of look at the later Fast films, they have more memorable side characters. Really, I only take away or remember from this is Brian and Dom, and that's even you've got Giselle in here, who obviously plays a big part later on, and who's more fleshed out later on. But I actually was watching this last night and I completely forgot that Gal Gadot was in this one. I thought it was Fast Five.
Same.
Yeah, you
Same.
just you forget you forget. But yeah, no, I really like it. It is. You sort of mentioned, because it is a sort of sequel, but you mentioned reboot, and I think it is a soft reboot as well, because this was actually, fun fact, this was my first Fast and Furious film. I saw it in cinemas in 2009, having never sort of seen the other ones, and you can sort of pick it up quite easily, because they don't really sort of harken back too much to Fast One. There's not really any mention of Too Fast, Too Furious. And Tokyo Drift, the only sort of reference to it is Han. So it is sort of a soft reboot, and it follows a lot of the sort of same beats of that first one, but I feel like it does so with the sort of new tone that it sets out that we sort of see develop later on in the franchise.
Yeah, there is still a bit of street racing in this though. They do keep the street racing through their
They do.
weird sat nav visual effect thing instead of actual street racing. It was just like, it's almost like they forgot to do the budget on the street racing and just have it visualized for a sat nav. It was great. I like that. Some of the most 2009 visual effects on the planet. Especially the logo. The Fast and Furious logo looks so strange in this. It's not what you expect. It's not quite the font we're used to. So it's very much like, the fuck is that? Like, that doesn't look right at all. And yeah, just the gen in general, like the animation for like the end credits, like the main
It's
end
weird.
credits, it's very
It's
strange.
weird.
It's a weird aesthetic to it, but I enjoy it. It's very, very late 2000s in its
What are your thoughts on our boy Dominic Toretto?
A bit of an arse sometimes, you know what I mean? I don't think he's quite that's the thing. I think we're going to end up scoring this quite low. Personally, I'm going to end up scoring this quite low for Vin Diesel-ness, because he is weirdly out of character for Dom in a way, but the Dom that we know now. So I think he needs to cool off a little bit, and I think he's going to get there. But yeah, he's a bit of an arse, but love him. We love him. We love him.
I was messaging you about this last night. What surprised me most, and I've seen the Fast and Furious films so many times, but what surprised me most about watching Fast and Furious last night was how much it revolves around Brian and Paul Walker. Yeah. And because I watched Too Fast, Too Furious earlier in the day as well, which is obviously all about Brian, and I was sort of saying to you that it's funny how everyone, not just us, but everyone thinks of Fast as Vin Diesel's franchise, obviously because he's the sort of producer on it, and now he is the sort of main star. But those earlier films are all about Brian. I would even say this one, I would say Dominic Toretto is a supporting character in that story.
I would agree. I would 100% agree with that. It shocked me how much I misremembered it, almost, in a way, that these were Dom's films for some reason. But they're not. They're all about Brian. They're all about Paul Walker. Paul Walker is a brilliant leading man in these, I have to say. And it shocked me. I don't know what I was watching before, because it really did. It shocked me how much of a charismatic leading man Paul Walker was. Like, he is just... Yeah. He just really, really, really shines in these movies.
Now we're happy to announce the Paul Walker podcast starting later
this
year.
Don't tempt me, because you know what happens. If we joke about them once, we end up having to do them completely. The opening stuff where we first see Brian again is very good. The rooftop chase sequence, I enjoyed that. Yeah. Oh, God.
It's great. Yeah.
It was great stuff. Are you I can't remember what happens in Fast Five at all, and I don't know if that's anything about Fast Five, but I can't remember at all. I remember enjoying it the most on my last rewatch, Fast Five, though. That's what I remember the most about it, is I remember enjoying it the most.
It's the one with with Hobbs and Rio de Janeiro and the sort of heist.
It's the highest regarded one, isn't it? Fast Five. Most people's favourite. I can't wait. Finally get your boy Hobbs in. Oh boy, it's gonna be such a great time. What was I also gonna say? So yeah, do you think this sets up do you agree that this sets up a good sort of trajectory for the franchise? Then are you excited to get for more?
I think it was the fact that I watched Too Fast, Too Furious, and Fast and Furious literally back to back. I skipped Tokyo Drift just because I didn't have the time. I also don't really care for it.
And it's also set at 7, so you could.
It's set after, yeah. But because I would say Too Fast and Too Furious and The Fast and the Furious sort of live in that same bubble of sort of early 2000s style films, and tonally as well. And I think sort of watching them back to back, I realized sort of how drastic a change is sort of between the two films, and how sort of out of place those first two films are now in the sort of Fast saga, compared to sort of the sort of tone and sensibilities of the later films.
Yeah, I have to agree. They are very, they're almost childlike in a way when you watch them, like, oh, okay, this is not what I expected at all after watching Fast 8. I wonder if we'll go back in 20 years and watch Fast 8 and be like, oh, why are they punching torpedoes at this guy? this is something weird. So let's move on to ratings. What are you thinking overall rating for Fast and Furious?
I am going to go 3 out of 5. I like it a lot. I like it a lot. But I think it is definitely one of the weaker ones in the franchise. It's weird because it's like, I know I rated the first one higher, probably just because when I think of Fast and Furious, I think of that first one, but I feel like Fast 4 is sort of the better film in terms of like where the franchise goes. I think they are in some ways the same film, but I feel like the fourth one is sort of just a little bit more. It's really entertaining when you watch it, but it's a bit more forgettable than the other ones. Sort of, you know, after like a week or so.
No, I get that. I think I would go. It's annoying because you can't do 3.5. So I'm thinking. I'm trying to think where I wanna. If I wanna go 4 or if I wanna go 3, and it's just one of those.
I was gonna
ones
say, what did
like,
you? What did you rate the first one?
And I think I rated the first one 3. And so I was, and I'm trying to think that. About. But I know if I wanna rate. I don't think it's on the same level as the later some of the later ones as well. Like,
yeah.
I'm thinking to myself, for
which
the
is partly it, yeah.
So I'm gonna go 3. I think I'm gonna go 3. It's a really solid movie. It really, it's not a like this is not like I'm putting it on blast or anything, but it is like it's a solid movie, and it's great action sequences, and it really sets up the franchise in a way I want to take it. A good reboot. It's a great reboot, and it's a great jumping in point.
And what do you say for Dominic Toretto, Vin Diesel?
Well, like I said, he's acting a bit arsey. He's not quite out for the family yet. You know, I mean, he likes his family, but. He's not quite open to joining people joining the family. I'm gonna say 3 as well, I think, because he's Dom and he's still doing Dommy things, but he's not quite dominant up yet.
I'm gonna go controversial. I'm gonna go 2, and I'll explain because okay. You're right. He's not Dominic Toretto as we know him.
Yeah.
But I feel like he's not even Dominic Toretto as we knew him in the first film. And I get that this is a revenge story and he is supposed to be just brutal and sort of unforgiving and relentless. But you don't see any sort of shreds of that hope and that code. Because you... Again, sort of in this film, the part where you would focus on that is his sort of relationship with Mia, but there's not even a lot of that. And I think as a result, you just don't see Dominic, you don't see Dominic Toretto with that sort of heart of gold that we sort of know him to have. And so for that reason, I feel like it's not a very Vin Diesel-y character in the sort of way that we've defined it.
Yeah, so no, too. I get you, because he has 100% changed a lot, and I put that down to more just having to be on the run. But well, it's a trajectory I understand, but he obviously I agree he's not quite there on the Vin Diesel level.
I think it's my least favorite Dom from the franchise.
Mm-hmm. But what about Dom? What about Evil Dom from Fast 8?
I like Evil Dom.
You like Evil Dom?
I like Evil Dom. I may score it low on the Vin Diesel in this. We'll see. Actually, maybe not. I'm thinking about that film again. And sort of why he goes evil. But I don't know. I like that change.
All right. So the list, as we have it right now, there are no movement really in the top sort of section, but so we have Strays, Saving Private Ryan, The Fast and Furious, XXX, Chronicles of Riddick, Boiler Room. Here we have at the number. Is this number? Wait, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Number 7 spot. The number 7 spot, we have Fast and Furious versus The Pacifier. So, which one would you like to be in the number 7 spot? Fast
you know
and Furious
what?
Or The Pacifier?
I have my own letterbox. Like, I've made my own sort of ranking list on letterbox just for my own sake. Last night, the thing I was wrestling with was, which one do I put higher, Pacifier or Fast and Furious? ultimately, ultimately, I went with The Pacifier because I feel like that was so much fun. But for our sake, I'm going to say Fast and Furious. Because it's Fast and Furious, and I think if it's a Vin Diesel podcast, you gotta look at that as sort of the you've got to look at that franchise. So I prefer The Pacifier as a movie. I think in that I would probably watch it If I had to choose to watch one again, I would choose to watch The Pacifier before Fast 4, but I think Fast 4 is the superior Vin film, maybe. What do you think?
Yeah, I would agree. I think I would have to agree.
I was hoping you were going to convince me that maybe The Pacifier was better.
I
Because I'm
don't know,
also, I
that's
can,
the
I would,
thing.
I can, I can
I'm
also
tossing
agree.
it up. I'm like, do
I
we
can
put The
also agree with
Pacifier
that.
higher?
Wait, counter argument for you. He's the leading man in The Pacifier.
That's true. That's very true.
He's the
I'm
leading
gonna
man in
give
The
it. I'm gonna leave it up
Pacifier.
to you. I'm gonna leave it up to you. That's what I'm gonna leave up to you. Make your decision now.
And my decision is to hear your opinion on it.
Do you know what?
Please.
I agree with your first argument. I think the Fast and Furious is going to stay there at number 7, I think. We're gonna have that higher. So
That
there
was the
you go.
toughest decision we've ever had to make
It
on this
really is.
podcast.
It really was, because the next decision is very easy. So that's Fast and Furious number 7, Pacifier number 8, Iron Giant number 9. Oh, sorry, no, Iron Giant was at number 9, but that's got a 10 out of 20 as well. So we have to discuss Iron Giant versus Babylon, which isn't much of a discussion in my eyes.
Babylon 8. No, I'm joking. Yeah, that's not
Yeah.
even. It's obviously a man apart.
Yes, obviously.
Obviously.
A man apart moves up 10 spaces to number 1. Yes, so that's pretty easy. I think the Iron Giant's a better film overall than Babylon. It's better Vin Diesel performance. It's just better in every
Yeah,
regard.
I agree. I agree with that.
So yes, yeah, so that Babylon, Pitch Black, Knock Around Guys, Man Apart. If you're watching the video, you can see this all on the lovely screens. Do you think we made the right choice though? If we
What's
didn't, what's up?
Pitch Black on? Sorry. What's Pitch
Pitch
Black on?
Black
Scroll right.
is so that's 14, 13, 12. That's 9 out of 10.
I don't like that.
Every
I
day
don't
I
like that
regret that
it's.
decision.
I don't like that it's. I don't like that it's lower than Babylon AD.
The amount I like Pitch Black now after playing the games and sort of getting engrossed in the
I
culture
know. I
of
know.
bloody Riddick, I really regret, and I want to see. I'm thinking maybe for the recap episode, if after we talk about Bloodshot, we rearrange the list, and we just sort of like end up counting down. You know what I
Well,
mean?
here's the thing. I think that I definitely have a sort of newfound appreciation for Pitch Black, having seen the Chronicles of Riddick. And like, I know I gave both Babylon and Pitch Black 3 stars, but I think Pitch Black is definitely the better film of the two. Like, I
Yeah,
enjoy
and I
Babylon,
think
but I feel
it's
like
because it was the Vin Diesel rating
it's
that
a
really
weird
dragged
one,
it down.
yeah. And he's not, and I guess, yeah, I suppose Vin Diesel in Babylon is more the character, the archetype we'd expect.
But it's also iconic in Vin Di like Vin Diesel's Riddick is iconic. That's what we have to take into account as well. You know what I mean?
I
Like.
think we should. I think I like your idea of going in at the end and debating some of the
In
choices.
yeah. Because
That's
it's
good, yeah.
really it's become almost a touchy subject, and I think for the last episode we should get some people in and just get like a group of us to just almost like a Vin Diesel round table where we get some Knights of the Vin Diesel in to talk about some of like Vin Diesel's obscure movies.
The thing is, I think because I don't know about you, but as I say, I'm keeping my own personal list,
Oh
and I feel
yeah,
like
I am as well.
we can look at our own personal list, and I feel like that will inform our end list. And I feel like because you watch other movies, and I think those movies affect your thoughts on the other movies, like the past movies, and so I feel like hindsight will definitely affect our
For
thoughts in the
sure.
end of maybe where we've placed things, and I feel like that'll
For
be
sure.
because I'm already not liking that Pitch Black is
Pitch
that
Black
low
is so far
down.
down. It is
It's too
something
far
else.
down.
Next week is Fast and Furious 5, followed by, wait for this, Fast and Furious 6.
Wow.
So
Wow.
it's gonna be a fun time. So strap in for more action-packed goodness. Starring Vin Diesel, because obviously that's all you get on this podcast. I've been Cameron. You can find me on Twitter at CamsOOG. at OHI Films, OHIFilms.com, and I also do another podcast called Four Eyes and the Giant, where me and Jordy Steele talk about random nerdy things for about an hour every week. It's a great, fun time. You can also find my Twitch, which should be ramping up roundabout now that I'm starting to finish uni work off. So, you know what I mean? I'll be streaming all the Vin Diesel games. I have Escape from Dark Athena, finishing up Escape from Bruce's
Wheelman.
Wheelman. I can't wait to play Wheelman. So yeah, you have to go and follow me on there to find out. It's twitch.tv/camzo_OG. Oasis, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at OasisOase or on thefilmbite.com. Our Fast and Furious reviews start from May 7th. We're going to be doing one a week, so go and give them a read.
Look at you.
I know. I'm excited.
I love the shades, by the way. I'm loving the whole ensemble, the shirt. You're looking really smart today.
Have to make an effort for the Vin podcast.
You have to. I've not even shaved. I just look like a disheveled geek. It's not. It's really just an upsetting look. right. Yeah, that's about us. So join us next week for Fast 5 and Fast and Furious 6. We'll see you then. See you later.